to do. Now, God, we just open our hearts. And God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak to us individually, collectively. God, do your work. Let the Holy Ghost move in this house. And we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and let's praise him together. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, for your word. God bless you. You can be seated. This world needs Daniels. Read about Daniel and do a little character study on him, and you'll find out that you probably agree with me on that. I'll go even a step further. Your world, the sphere of influence that you live in, your job, your family, your home, your interactions, your world needs a Daniel. What is a Daniel? What do you mean, Pastor? I mean people with the courage to go against the tide of current values. Current values that do not in any way conform to the path of Jesus. I read a quote that said, "Only dead fish float with the current. Live fish constantly swim against it." Or, if that's too deep for you, in the words of that great philosopher, Dory the Great, "Just keep swimming." This world needs a light that shines in the darkness. This world needs a foundation that stands when everything else is shaking, and everything else is shaking. This world needs voices that speak truth in a world that is full of lies. This world needs Daniels who provide direction for a generation that I don't think that anybody would disagree with me that seems to have lost its way. I want to preach to everybody here, everybody. There's nobody that I'm not preaching to. Everybody online, everybody sitting in this sanctuary. You can be the Daniel that this day is looking for. You can be that individual that becomes that light, that becomes that direction, that becomes that voice that speaks to the void that is around it. In 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian emperor, and he would conquer Israel because Israel was in a backslidden state. The culture of that world in that day worshiped idols, and God was all but forgotten. And the Bible says in the first chapter of the first verse of Daniel, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. He gave him the articles of the house of God, which he carried into his land, Shinar, to the house of his God, Nebuchadnezzar's God. He brought the articles into the treasure of the house of his God. Verse 3 says that then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish, good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace and in whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So when Nebuchadnezzar would go and defeat a city or a country or a region, he would arrest and take the best and the brightest, and especially the royal family of that area, and he would bring them back to his kingdom, Babylon. He would train them and slowly strip away their culture and replace it with his. Israel, Daniel's nation, was in captivity because of their lukewarm, cold, idol-worshiping ways, their blatant disregard for God, had allowed God to withhold and take away his protection and his hand from that nation. And it seems like in that circumstance, it was probably, would be an easy transition for all those who were taken captive. All those young men, those bright young men, those smart young men, those nobles and parts of the royal family, it'd probably be a very easy transition for any of those captives to come and meld into the culture of Babylon, to forget the truth of the past. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. It would be easy for all of them to forget what mamas and papas and grandmas and grandpas had taught them. It was probably easy for many, and it would seem, even from reading scripture, that it was nothing for them to follow the flow of the current of the river of culture around them. Why fight it? Israel's gone. We're in a land we don't know anything about. We're in a culture that has devoured and defeated us. We might as well blend in the best we can. But not everybody decided to blend in. And not everybody decided to succumb to the culture around them. Not everybody bowed to the idols of Babylon. Not everybody conformed to the teaching and the culture that they were trying to indoctrinate these young men with. There was a man named Daniel, a young man named Daniel, that somehow, some way, thank God for his parents, we don't know anything about them, but something got instilled in a young man named Daniel that even in the midst of a culture that completely consumed him, he refused to give up his identity as a child of God and said, you know what? Everything else around me may be bowing, but there's something in me that refuses to bow to this culture that is around me. I'm here to tell you, we need some Daniels today that'll stand up and say, you know what? It may be easy to go with the flow. It may be easy to drift with the river, but fish, live fish swing upstream all the time. And there's something within me that says this, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wonder today if there is anybody under the sound of my voice that even if you don't feel like you are, do you think you could rise to the occasion and dare to be a Daniel? Look at somebody next to you and say, man, you could be a Daniel to your world. I believe it. Not everybody was conforming. Not everybody was bowing. And I believe that God is searching and even raising up Daniels in this day. People then knew that Daniel existed. Read the prophets around him. Read Jeremiah. Read Ezekiel, and they referenced Daniel. Everybody knew who Daniel was. He had wisdom that was profound and proclaimed. He was a voice that was heard in his generation, a life that stood in contrast to everything around him. He had truth in him that overcame all the falsehood around him. Would you dare to be that guy? Would you dare today to be that person, to stand out instead of blending in, to step up instead of holding back? Listen, for Daniel, it was more than just a momentary declaration. Daniel made some lifetime commitments. That's a good place to say amen. Daniel made lifetime commitments. His journey and his story trace across at least 4 different rulers and 3 different empires. 70 years of profession and projecting the God of Israel in one pagan idol-worshiping culture after another. So if somebody that can do that is somebody I want to pay attention to, somebody that can do more than just overcome the culture of one nation, but 3 nations, not just one president, but 4 presidents, not just one culture, but 4 cultures, and in every change, in every season, in every moment, still stand and say, there's one God, and his name is Jehovah. There's just one God. There's just one way. There's just one answer. Is there anybody that hears what I'm saying? I don't care what this world does. I don't care how many seasons we go through. There's still one answer. There's still one God. His name is Jesus. Come on, does anybody know the answer of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, Daniel, this world needs your voice to say, there's one. There's one. His name is Jesus. Everybody around you, your world needs you to give them the answer. So this man is worth studying. This man is worth looking into. And there's some qualifying traits of Daniel we should pay attention to. There's probably many, and you will not endure all of them. So let me just pare it down and present to you just maybe a couple I think are most important. We're interested in impacting our world like he impacted his. Some of us. I said, we're interested. I hope that's why you're here. At least in some way, you're interested in being different than the world that is around you. Let me tell you what Daniel did. Daniel knew how to set boundaries. And he knew how to set boundaries that brought blessing into his life. The Bible says one of the first things that happened when Daniel showed up with all his friends, that the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank. 3 years of training he would train them so at the end of the time they could stand before the king and they could serve in his court. But verse 8 of chapter 1 says this, powerful, listen. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies or the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And he puts this plan together. The eunuch, that his ruler said, look, if you're sickly and if this doesn't work and you show up before the king, he said, it could be my head. Daniel said, give me 10 days. Give me 10 days. You feed me vegetables and water. That's a hard one. Anybody else? That's a hard one? That's a hard one. Vegetables and water, me and my friends, for 10 days. And so he allowed him in this matter. He consented with them in this matter. Verse 14 says, and he tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate a portion of the king's delicacies. Daniel said, listen, I know you don't know anything about this, but if you will try God's way will work better than your way. Come on, somebody. That'll preach for a year right there. If you'll just try God's way, it will work better than the world's way. Is there anybody that's got that testimony right now? I know you're out there. I see you right now. You finally came to a place and a point where you said, you know what? That world's not working for me anymore. I've got to find a way that'll work. And then you walked into a place, you heard a preacher, you read your Bible, and you understood that his way works. And that's why you're here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Daniel said, no. I know I could give in here. But Daniel sweated the small stuff. There's a lie that will prevail in your thinking if you allow it. That says, you know what? Here's the phrase. It's not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. What's not that big? Just, you know, put your list out there. Eventually, it's not that big of a deal. The devil wants everyone to look at everything in God's word and say, it's not that big of a deal. But the truth is, listen to me, follow my logic. Every big deal started with a small deal. Small decisions are initial investments on large outcomes. Come on, Daniel, what's the big deal? It's just supper. It's just what you're eating. There's so many, you got so many other things to worry about. You're not in your homeland. You don't even know where your family's at. You've been taken captive and you are sweating the fact that you're eating something that's not the diet that you had when you were a young boy. And Daniel said, look, no, you don't understand. I am resolved. Enough is enough. This is far as I go. I may be in Babylonia, but I am not a Babylonian. I may have a Babylonian name, but I know what my real name is. My name is Daniel. He said, I'm going to resolve myself not to eat this king's meat. It's been offered to false gods. It's not according to the way I was raised. Daniel made up his mind because he could see, at least to some extent, how this story potentially could end. And he made a decision because he could predict the end of the story if he didn't take a stand somewhere. Here's what I'm going to tell you about you. I don't know a lot of you folks. I mean, intimately. I know your names. I know your faces. You show up here on Sunday. Some of you show up here on Wednesday. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean to be mean right there. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. I'm just telling you, I don't know everybody here. But here's what I'm going to tell you about you. I know it's true. There are dangerous places in your life. There are places that if you go, it's not going to be good for you. There are places of thought and places of action and places of behavior that are dangerous for you. And the fact of the matter is you can think of it right now. You don't need me to spell it out for you. There's a place, there's a thought, there's an action, there's a path in your life. You know what it'll end like. if you don't make a stand somewhere. This is what Jesus meant when he said, which one of you wishing to build a farm building does not sit down and calculate the cost to see whether he has sufficient means to finish it? Here's what I think. We have lost, we have forgotten, we have set aside our ability for the need to look ahead and see what we're doing now and how it's going to impact what happens later. How about we start asking ourselves some really good questions? How is this going to affect me? Could this turn out bad? Here's a great one. Has it ever turned out bad before? Does it violate God's word? Does it infringe upon God's calling in my life? Daniel looked ahead and he decided, even with this small thing, just like the meal he was going to eat every day, he said, this cannot end well. If I start here, I'm going to give in somewhere else. So before it gets too far, I'm going to put the guardrail right here. I'm going to install a boundary right here, because Daniel knew that boundaries show you where the road really is. Jesus said, I am the way. There's a way. Everybody say a way. The New Testament church, that's what they were called. They weren't called the Pentecostals. They weren't called the Methodists or the Episcopalians, or they didn't have a denomination. They were called the people of the way. What way? The way, the truth, and the life. There is one way. Jesus was the route. He was the journey. He was the highway. There was only one way. Listen, there's a reason why God calls on us to put boundaries in our life. There's a reason why the Word of God speaks to us about boundaries in our life. It shows us the way. It shows us the truth. It shows us the life. Isaiah would talk about this way. He said, a highway shall be there and in a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean won't pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, even if he's a fool, he won't go astray. You could be the biggest fool in this room, but if you'll stay in the way, you'll be a saved fool. Come on, turn to somebody and say, if you're a fool, come on, tell them. Now tell them, I'm not telling you are. But if you are, if you'll stay in the road, if you'll stay in the highway of holiness, if you'll make sure I will not blend into this world, I'll walk the way and path of Jesus in my life. I promise you, it doesn't matter how smart you are, how dumb you are, what color you are, or what pedigree is behind you, when you're in the way, you're the smartest guy on the planet. No wonder Paul said we ought to pay more close attention, more than ever, to the truths that we have heard, lest at any time we drift past them and they slip away. Dare to be a Daniel and set boundaries in a culture that has few, if any. Let me tell you something else about Daniel, very important. Daniel prayed. Listen, Daniel was so given to prayer. Anybody know the story? That his compatriots, his co-workers trying to take him out, said, you know what? He's administratively a genius. We can't get anything on this guy, so we're going to have to trip him up with his faith. And so they get the king to agree to this crazy idea that nobody can pray to any other god except the king. And they say, now we got him. You want to know why they said that? Because they knew something about Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer. Can I tell you, Daniel? Are you hearing me? Daniel, are you out there? Your world needs you to pray. Prayer changed Daniel's world, and prayer will change your world. Daniel prayed and understood what other people could not. Daniel prayed and he was promoted when everybody else was left in the dust. Daniel prayed and he was protected when others got eaten alive. Daniel prayed and he heard from God what others would never hear in their life. Listen to me, if you pray, coincidences will happen in your life. If you don't, they won't. If you pray, miracles will happen around you. If you don't, they won't. If you pray, God's Spirit will fall around you. If you don't, it won't. Listen, prayer changes things. I can talk to everybody in this building. I don't care where you're at in your journey. There is nobody that doesn't need to pray like there's no tomorrow. Your world needs you to pray. You can't do more to move heaven and earth
than for you to pray unto the God that created heaven and earth.
Come on, turn to somebody right now and say, man, pray, man, just pray. Let me talk to some young folks. The Bible says, when Daniel knew this writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room. I love this. Man, you talk about it. This guy is not saying, well, I don't know if he wasn't scared, but he sure didn't act like it. He opened the windows. I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd go in the basement. I'd shut all the doors. I'd install some soundproof barriers somewhere because I would want to pray. But I'd be scared for anybody to hear me. No, Daniel, he goes in the upper story, and he opens up the windows. And the Bible said he knelt down on his knees three, not just once. Oh, come on, Daniel. No, once. That ain't enough. I need three times a day. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God. Listen to me. As was his custom, Joe, as was his custom from early days. Do you know how old Daniel probably was when this story took place in your Bible? Almost 80 years old. Theologians say he was probably almost 80 years old just doing basic math about what they know about this story in the Bible. And the Bible said he prayed like he'd learned to when he was young. Somebody say young. I'm going to tell you something. I wish the 52-year-old Brad could talk to the 16-year-old Brad. Anybody else? I'd have so many things to say to that guy. I'd tell him, do not listen to your cousin. If you put a wooden bumper on that car, people will make fun of you for the rest of your life. I'd tell him. Yeah. You know what else I'd tell him? I'd say, don't buy those pointy-toed shoes. They are not cool. And your wife will hold it from you for years. But one time she will tell you and demoralize you and say, you know what? Those are the nerdiest shoes you ever had. I'd tell him some. I'd tell 16-year-old Brad, don't eat so much sugar, Brad. I'd tell him. You know what else I'd tell him? Create a custom of prayer right now. In fact, I'd probably try to reach back as far as I could get a hold of that ADD, fat, chubby-faced kid. To the point where he'd understand, I'd say, start praying right now. So when you get older, that you don't have to learn how to pray. You already know how to pray. I'm telling you that prayer changes things. If you can learn to pray, you can command things to happen in the word of the Lord. If you learn to pray, it is then that you can pray the promises of God and them come to pass. There is nothing more powerful than prayer. And it gets even more powerful when the church prays together. I read a story in my Bible where the church prayed the preacher out of prison. I pray there's enough people here that if I ever get thrown in jail, there's enough that'll bind together and pray an angel into my cell to get me loose. Is there any Daniels here that say, you know what? I don't care what happens. I don't care. If they pass a law that says nobody's going to pray, you're still going to find me in prayer before the Lord, because the law of God is greater than the law of this world. Come on, where are my prayer people? Where are the people of prayer in this hour? Where are the Daniels that'll go to an upper room and throw open the windows and pray and thank God? Let me end very quickly. Daniel pressed on under pressure. See, God could, he could trust Daniel with pressure. There have been times in my life where God couldn't trust me with a bologna sandwich. But he trusted Daniel with pressure. He let him get into more. This isn't the only lion's den that Daniel faced. This is the only time his life was on the line over and over and over again. Daniel would find himself in places of conflict and pressure. And he didn't fall apart every time trouble fell in his lap. And he didn't collapse every time he was challenged. In fact, it seems every time Daniel or his companions were put into those tough positions, listen to me, the very people trying to destroy them ended up declaring how great their God was. So every time he got into the pressure cooker, God got him out of the pressure cooker. And everybody around them said, you know what? Our gods can't do what Daniel's God can do. Can I ask somebody, maybe that pressure you're under, it's not because of anything else except that God trusts you with that situation long enough so that his glory can be manifest in your life. Come on, Daniel, stop falling every time there's conflict. Stop collapsing every time there's pressure. There's glory coming on the other side of that conflict. We know the story of the fiery furnace, Daniel's companions. Better by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would stand in a fiery furnace, heated up seven times hotter. Yet they would come out without any of the smell of smoke on their clothes. Anybody just hear what I said? And the only thing that was burned up on them was the bindings that were around their legs and around their hands. No burns on their body. And the very man that had them thrown in would say, didn't we throw in three? And God would let him see a manifestation of the God that would take him out of that fire and say, I see a fourth, and he's likened unto the Son of God. I'm just telling you right now, if you'll stand under pressure, God will bring his glory about. And the end of that story is, Nebuchadnezzar said, I therefore make a decree. He just threw him in the fire, hear me, that every people, every nation, every language would speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll cut them in pieces. Their houses will be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Anybody catch that? He just tried to destroy them. But when he saw the miraculous move of God in their life, he turned his head and said, there ain't anybody like the God of these three Hebrew boys. Daniel thrown into a lion's den, he would pray, even though that law said he couldn't. And so the king would give a commandment. They would bring Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. But the king spoke. I love this. Listen, the king spoke to Daniel before he threw him in and said, your God. There was something that he had witnessed about Daniel. And here's what the king said about Daniel. I'm going to throw you into a pit full of lions. But the God that you serve continually, he will deliver you. The king said that about him. And the Bible said the next day, he said, Daniel, has your God delivered you? And he looked up and said, let me tell you, the Lord sent an angel down to this pit this night, and he has shut the mouths of this lion. I'm just telling you that it doesn't matter what comes to destroy you, if you will stand under pressure, there is a God in heaven that will be glorified by you standing. It is possible that God will show his glory to the world through an individual that he can trust. Under pressure. Stand with me here tonight. Here's what I can tell you, my own personal testimony. God has always stepped in when I stepped up. Anybody else? Always. It's then that God shows himself strong. I quoted this to you last week. The eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Looking for what? To place to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Daniel was placed into position after position, exalted in place of influence after place of influence, demonstrated the glory of God over and over in his life. And the Bible said he was preferred. And here's why he was. There was an excellent spirit in him. Now, the literal translation says, he was just an administrative genius. But I would dare say there is an excellent spirit that enables the people of God today. Howbeit, the Bible says in John 16:3, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Everybody say, an excellent spirit. Titus 2 and 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for a blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Listen, in this New Testament age, there's an excellent spirit that is raising up Daniels all over this globe. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Repent, be baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall, somebody say shall. Listen, folks, that's a promise. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, Daniel. There's an excellent spirit that's in this place right now and wants to be in every one of us to raise us up, to swim against the current, to declare the truth, to shed the light, to provide a foundation in the midst of everything that's shaken. I wonder if anybody would dare to be a Daniel. Is there anybody here today you'd step out of your seat and say in one way or another, I don't even know how it's all going to happen, but I'll take the dare. I'll give it a shot. Come on, is there any Daniels that are here today? If you're at home, maybe you ought to just sink your knees into the carpet of wherever you're at, or the floor, wherever you're at, and say, I want to be that Daniel. I want to be that one that prays. I want to be that one that stands under pressure. I want to be that one that draws boundaries and realizes the blessing and the move and the operation of God that it brings in my life. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? Don't be shy. Come on, we all want to step up. Is there anybody else? I want to step up. I want to see the power of God. I want to see it where I work. I want to see it where I go to school. I want to see it in my family. I want to see it in my community. Come on, Daniel, start praying right now. Start praying right now. Pray the power of heaven down on earth. Pray, Lord, the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, if you're in pressure, don't you get upset about that pressure. You just realize it's an opportunity for God's glory to show off in your life.